Norsted, welcome to Scenes on Toast. First of all, your surname, Norsted, it sounds like a kind of Finnish second division team.
Yeah, it's Swedish. Yeah,
it's Swedish. Yeah, right, Mjällby versus Norsted.
I think my great-grandfather was a Swedish sailor, and he met a missionary from Liverpool in Australia, believe it or not. So it's a bit of a mix. In fact, some of my relations were in Ned Kelly's gang.
Were they? Mm. I can't say the same. I've got Shepherd as a surname, and sort of like there's eight different ways of spelling it, and no one ever gets it right first time. So, well, Sweden and Peterborough then, because that's where we're based at the moment, right? So your background was RAF engineer, is that right?
No, I was a data analyst. I used to do aircraft engineering data.
Right. So didn't get certainly hands on with any sort of NATOs and stuff.
No. You used to do the stats for them though, but that's it. But not hands on, no.
Okay. Is this where this element of your work, is this how Trade on Sports came about?
No. Before, I've always liked sports and football and things like that. And essentially, I used to like playing the stock market on the spread betting. So I was into
spread betting,
financial spread betting. I used to do that. And anyway, funnily enough, I first saw Betfair out in Afghanistan. Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it, when you think about it?
That would have been you would have been out there for the war.
Yes. And we're in this sort of bunker thing, and the internet connection wasn't great. But this guy said to me, as he said, "Have you ever heard of Betfair?" And I said, "No." And he says, "Have a look at this." He says, and he put up a horse racing market, and he says, "Oh, the odds are moving, and you back it or you can lay it." And I said, "What's lay?" He says, "Oh, it means that you go the opposite side, you know." And as soon as I got back home, then that's what really sparked my interest in it. What I used to do then, I had a look at the markets. I thought, wow, this is good. And then all of a sudden I realised you could back and then lay and then make a profit, whatever happened. And then what I did then, I started recording the markets, and that's what got me interested in it. I was basically looking at the price movements.
Okay, yeah. It's a bit like sounds like a bit like a Peter Webb story. Except I don't think he started his Betfair trading life sat in a bunker in Kabul.
No, probably not.
Yeah, rather you than me, mate.
It wasn't the best. And
no, but at least you can get the 4:15 at Folkestone. Being on that subject of Betfair, a couple of things in the last few weeks, some announcements that they're dropping a lot of first half markets in maybe lower league games. They seem to have dropped Correct Score out now. What do you think is going on? Because is this COVID related? Is this a drop of earnings for them and they're cutting back? Or do you just think they're just trying to grind this down into bigger leagues only?
I'm not really sure. I think that they may be trying to put it down into bigger leagues only. I have noticed on the pre-match markets, basically I look at these every weekend and most of the Champions League matches and whatever, and there's certainly not the liquidity that there was, say, 10 years ago. There isn't the liquidity. There probably was 5 years ago. Essentially, what we do, we say to our members who have a look at our pre-match trading tool, don't get involved in a game which has got less than 50,000 in the market, and you'll be surprised at how few games do have 50,000 in the market on a Saturday morning at around 7 o'clock. Whereas
liquidity there.
Yeah. I think the cricket does okay. Matt hasn't informed me about anything on the tennis that he's seen that is strange. But yes, I think there is generally less money in these markets, because I think people have looked at alternatives, although it's very difficult.
Possibly. I mean, it could be, people just aren't sort of haven't got the cash or spare cash to have a dabble these days. But, you know, when you're talking about pre-match markets, you're talking about serious punters who are scalping, and you wouldn't have thought they would affect them. My surprise really is that they've dropped the correct scores, because I'm not a great correct score player.
No.
I like to have a dabble, a bit of fun. But that, for me, I would have thought would have been one of their bigger markets. First half, not so bad for me. I'm not a big first half trader anyway, so doesn't really affect me. As you know, because we trade on sports, 0-0 half time is not a game that features. But I'm surprised that the correct score decision. And,
yeah.
But what gets me most of all is BetDak. BetDak seemed to sit there, and I went on there the other day. I just dropped in. No Bundesliga 2 games, very small amount of markets. And while Betfair seemed to be sort of cutting back on markets, for me, BetDak has an opportunity here to come in and say, look, let's look after the punter a bit better. Let's get their feedback. Let's get some stuff out there. And they seem to sort of just go along in Betfair's wake without really pushing it.
Yes.
Betfair now, having dropped their commission to 2% as a choice. And to me, there's an opportunity in the market there. S markets now, well, liquidity is a problem again. And apparently there's a new player on the block I don't know anything about. Are we actually going to see anyone who's going to challenge Betfair? I mean, and also an infuriating thing for me is the amount of games now that get suspended in play and you can't get back in. And this is not small leagues we're talking about. People say on Twitter, yeah, but you know, it was Slovakian Liga 2. This happened at West Ham Tottenham the other night for 10 minutes. And fortunately for me, because I was involved, it finished 3-3. But this is a Premier League game that's suspended for 10 minutes. And I say to them all the time, well, it wasn't suspended on Sportsbook. So what's their excuse?
Yeah, I mean, last year, again, in a West Ham game, West Ham against Man United, West Ham took the league and the market suspended. And it suspended during that time. Manchester United went on and equalised. I mean, yeah, it's a nightmare, really. I mean, I can remember I have put quite a bit of money in the pre-match markets, but I don't now, purely and simply because come 2 o'clock or whatever, you know that the system's going to go down and you're left hanging there. You know, you're having to lay your money off on different outlets, and it's very, very difficult. I mean, I have noticed as well, we have a strategy, the under strategy, whereas we lay the overs, and we've noticed that the price, even with only our members, you know, laying the price, it doesn't move it sort of significantly, but in the smaller leagues it moves it enough. And what I've said to people is, well, go see if you can find other bookmakers. And as somebody pointed out the other day, yes, William Hills, but the only problem with that, of course, if you're a little bit smart and you put some money on at Hills, next minute you can get an email, sorry, we've closed your account for trading purposes. It's very difficult. I don't know what's going to happen. I think they're trying to push people more towards their sports book, but it's a difficult
of thing. Course they are. Yeah. Yeah, and it's infuriating because it's completely two different elements to gambling. And what I don't understand is why get Clive Owen and have this big sort of advertising campaign about the exchange and then start to sort of narrow it down and cut it all back? And is this Paddy Power having that influence over Betfair and trying to drive people to Sportsbook? Because we're not going to go to Sportsbook because we're going to get gubbed. And again, that goes back to my point of why aren't BetDak doing something in the market and seeing an opportunity what we can really grab some customers.
It all depends who's seeding these markets, though, in these smaller leagues, doesn't it? And I'm not 100% sure it is that, you know, it's person to person. And this is ultimately the problem, isn't it?
It's accountability too, as well. When we talk about these suspended markets, they just say, well, you know, we lost the feed. Sorry about that. Here's a 30 quid voucher. Yeah. And even then I had to haggle him from 20 quid. No, I'm not accepting that. I'm about 25. No, that's no good. I'm 30. And in the end, 30, I just gave him to give me the money because I've lost 150 quid on the trade. And that's all I'm going to get. And there's no accountability. If we were anywhere else or any other kind of industry and maybe had a washing machine that broke down every other week, you know, you want your money back or a refund or a replacement that works. But within the gambling fraternity, it's, well, you know, we're not accountable.
Yeah.
There's no accountability. And I would love to think that could change in the future, but there's such a big force, you know, that they can pretty much do what they want.
Yes, you cannot, you know, with these things like premium charge and you know, lack of liquidity, I think the bigger players are now disappearing, basically. And, you know, this is what we have that's left. But you have to sort of be flexible, I suppose, and try and find other alternatives. But it is very difficult. We a lot of people do rely solely on Betfair.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, it's 95% of my trading. The rest is on Bet365. Yeah. Just certain
I think
angles.
Pre-match Asian handicaps are all right on Matchbook. I think they're pretty good for taking bets on pre-match Asian handicaps. But again, in play, it's very difficult.
Yeah, and also, you know, they're not everyone's favourite cup of tea at the moment. Let's talk about Betfred. Have you read this article about this guy? And this is not football or horse racing. It's one of their fruit machines that had a glitch. Gameplay and come back to him 5 days later and said, yeah, we had a glitch with the software and it's going to court. And I think they're going to lose. I think they're going to settle out of court because I think they've tried it on, you know. And they've shown no evidence of this. And again, it's just
this
promoting this stuff to punters. And we see it 30% of TV adverts now, I think, sportsbook adverts. They're promoting this stuff and they're not honoring deals. And basically, people are losing a lot of money addicted to this. But when you do have a big winner, they just want to make an excuse. And Betfred being, I just loathe them. I have no account. I just shut my account with them ages ago. They're terrible.
It's outrageous, really. I think the problem is, if you look at sort of like sports betting trading, over the years, this is a very good alternative investment. If you get it right, providing you've got a sensible bank and your staking's correct and whatever, it's a very good alternative to putting your money into the stock market, which is only going one way at the moment. So, yeah.
Or into a bank, which is just going to take you like about 500 years to earn 10 quid off the grand or something. No, the interest rate.
And providing you've got the mentality, which is a big thing, it's all psychological. It's all in the head, this is really. And providing you've got the psychological, this is a good, you know, alternate way of investing. But unfortunately, the platforms that you use to invest on aren't the best. It's terrible, really, when you compare it to the financial markets.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look at the there's nothing to say that's improved. There's no kind of customer care. But anyway, I mean, we'll see how that pans out. And obviously, we'll talk about COVID now. I want to bring something up here. This has been a discussion amongst traders and there's been a bit of a rant from, is it Ian at FTS Income in his podcast? Is it?
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? Yes.
He was absolutely spitting blood the other day.
People heard it.
Said that COVID is responsible for this change of results. And he said it's purely down to variance simply because we don't have the sample size. Well, I have to say, I understand what he's saying, but I don't agree. Now, the reason I don't agree is because I read an article in the New York Times a few weeks back from Paul Casey, the golfer, and he was in contention for the PGA Championship, which is the first major to be played since. And we've had the US Open as well. In his own words, he said, I don't like it one bit. When I play golf at home, I play without a crowd. But not having the crowd there, you are missing a certain dynamic. And that's a great word to use, dynamic, because if you think also, as the journalist pointed out, that several players missed the cut because they hit the ball where the crowd would have been, and of course the crowd weren't there, the ball wasn't found, they dropped a shot, and they were knocked out. So if it does have an effect. Now, that's not football, obviously. That's golf, which is not a team game, but you would think it would have more of an effect on a team. And I can't, even though I do sort of agree with Ian's thing, we don't have a big enough sample rate, I have to say I think it's definitely affected results, especially draws and away teams at half time. Even if the sample rate is small, the swing is massive. It's towards 40-50% change. And you've got this thing with the home crowd, you've got the energy, the adrenaline, they are going to have an effect on the referee as well. So it's, if it might be subliminal, not deliberate, but to me, it's definitely had an effect, and especially the 0-1 at half times. And we'll talk about now those strats, you know, because you've made a sort of change to the HT overstrap, but starting to come back in typical fashion.
Yes. I was away on holiday, and when I got back, Stephen and Johnny said to me, they said, you know, there's something not right with this halftime. Basically, what we're looking for, if we use Andy's strategy of where it goes to 1.6 on 70 minutes and then you're back. Effectively, what it's been doing, it's been treading water. And then over the last few months, it's sort of been leaking. And Andy as well says, you know, this is, he believes it's variance, you know, and it very well could be. But when you look at these, I don't think we're getting the fight back goal. Say if it's a 0-1 at halftime, you don't have to look at the stats like the Championship. Yeah. You know, 26 games where the score's been 0-1, only one home win, and only 9 of the 26 matches saw over 2.5 goals. And the home team have only scored in 11 of those 26 matches. Now, that's it showed that, obviously, if a home team are losing 0-1, you go in the second half, the crowd, I think they do make some difference. Obviously, we don't know whether they do or they don't, really, but it must do. It's those stats are just not normal, are they? They're not normal.
It was simply, if Paul Casey, and we haven't heard players or footballers talk about this, actually, but we've heard Paul Casey come out and say it's definitely affected golf. Rory McIlroy said it as well. Football is not, immune to any COVID. You would be very naive to think that one certain sport is immune to it and it wouldn't change it. It's changed everything else in the world. Why not football? So, yeah, for me, I think it's definitely had an effect and people are slowly adapting.
Well, now, Johnny did say to me, he says that the problem is, he says, we're seeing these goals in the second half. It used to be 84%. It's gone down to 77%. He said the problem is now with the over strategy is, he says, the margins are so small. It's so small. I don't play that strategy at the moment. Stephen's not doing it at the moment. And I just said to the members, I you know, we're not doing that. We have to be transparent. I cannot. But however, quite a few of the members are still doing it because they believe that it is variance. And yeah, I would, if they want to do that, then so long as they're aware of the scenario, then all well and good. But I think it has made a difference.
There's always an adaptation to be made, and as sort of strategy sort of inventors, you need to be, because margins change and everything's always changing. It's not uncommon for a strat after a few years to just fail. So what do? We bring out new ones. So I want to talk about the and of course there's always a risk with this, you must say beta. The problem is that you bring out a new strat which I've been able to develop using GSA based on its data, and it's done really well. It's only 200 or whatever samples through, which is way too small. It's like it should be a minimum 1,000, maybe 6 months before you even think. But sometimes the only way to really test a strat is to actually not paper trade it, but to do it for micro stakes and smaller stakes and see how it goes. Now, the interesting one about this is it started off as one thing and became another simply because of Stephen's brilliant spreadsheets that filter halftime scores and everything. So what started off as a strat looking for an early goal has now become a strat that looks for over 1.5 goals in the second half. And what I'm doing with that at the moment is, if in case members of Trade on Sports are listening, is, yes, everyone is asking about it. Everyone's like, well, when's it going to be released? It's sort of guaranteed. As soon as you put it out there, it's going to have 4 or 5 losers on the run. People are going to go off and lose interest, and then it will bounce back. And this is the problem we have with stuff like this. And it's weird the way it's worked out. It's only works itself on 2 or 3, 4 maybe halftime score lines, and the combination of that and a certain percentage of an early goal. And when you run the filters through it, through Stephen's spreadsheet, we found the 62% strike rate. And in testing so far, it's sitting at 61.5. So an exciting kind of strat that I'd like to get out there and release to members. Yep. But I'm a little bit
I think it will be going out this month, November, certainly December. But I think, don't forget as well, though, that Stephen looks back through five seasons worth of data. So it's quite a strong strategy. So
he constantly sends me graphs and surprises me about these kind of things. I never saw this. And that's the importance of people keep a spreadsheet. But when you apply these filters to them, it really, really opens your eyes. You take out 1-1, you take out 1-0, whatever. And it's a bit like water, isn't it? So the more filters you apply to something, the more pure it becomes, is the way I think of it. So some good new strats to look forward to.
Also, coming up. The strategy is doing very well at the moment.
I'm not an unders fan, but I do it. And a lot of people I've noticed, we talk about in chat, and unders is a nail biter. You know, it's like once you've been there, and the reason is it's psychological, because once your money's out there, you're winning. Yeah, unlike when you're doing overs and you're in the red waiting for the goal. My philosophy on this is I don't trade out. It's the set and forget system. I put my money down to one point, and of course, if you're back in at laying a 1.67, it's not a full point. So that's the whole idea of it. I delete the game and I delete it off Betfair, and I don't worry about it until the end of the day when I come back.
It's no good looking at. I mean, there's so many people. What I do find quite frustrating is that when people say like these 1.6 at 70 minutes, everybody's, oh, we're matched there. And they're watching this game or whatever. And, you can't do that. If you look at each game singly and watch, you're just going to drive yourself into the madhouse. It's a long-term game. Even if it's a 50-50 toss of a coin, the probability is at some stage you're going to get eight winners in a row or eight losers in a row. So you have to accept that you're going to have these losers. And if you're looking at a 50-50 thing, you're going to have eight losers on the bounce. So you've got to prepare yourself for that. Obviously, if you're backing at 1.6, it's going to be about four losers on the bounce you could get, but you've got to prepare yourself for that. And that's unfortunately what people don't do. Unfortunately, people don't stake themselves. Yeah. They don't come into it with a plan why they're doing it and a proper staking system.
Exactly. And the word set and forget, I think people do forget the last bit. Forget. Put it down, get rid of it, and don't let it play on your mind. And this is what I do now. I moving that on to bots and BF bots. Now, I for the first month or two, I was really learning BF Bot Manager. Now, I'm just almost fully automated on it, and it's great. And I've been able to start now experimenting with it, with strats of my own, using microstakes, and it's just taken a whole. It's a whole new world for me now. And I think that this is now just completely the future, just trading with bots from alerts and systems, because we are planning to, just for anyone who doesn't understand how it works, Trade on Sports have certain strategies that fire out an alert based on criteria from that match. That is then entered into the BF bot, and from the BF bot you are setting up your staking and some own rules of your own, if you like, and then it's straight out into Betfair and the job's done. So we're going from a tried trusted strategy alert into Bot Manager for your staking into Betfair, and then you come back and it's all done for you. And I found that educational as well, and takes a lot of the thinking out of it, a lot of the tampering from me. So this is what we're planning now. The next stage of Trade on Sports will be to have customizable alerts based on Goal Plus and Goal Plus Plus. Is that not right?
I mean, at the moment, I believe that if somebody has a strategy and they put it to Stephen and they put that into the Betfair Bot Manager and they make that work and it's going to be customizable. Yes, I would say though, I think sometimes less is more, and And you'd be surprised at the moment, the only alerts that I'm doing at the moment are the unders alerts. That's the only thing I'm looking at. However, Stephen, as you say, we've got these a couple of strategies coming up that look very interesting. And once those go into the mode, I will be doing that, you know, two ahead and whatever. And I will also be going back to the 1.6 strategy as well.
Yeah, I've got about three or four in motion at the moment. So and they all kind of have their own performance levels. And I think it's looking at it after about a month or two and saying, well, what's the average here? Is one adjustable, one tweakable? So it's always, you know, monitoring it. And so far, so good.
People think automation and they think, oh, yeah, this is great, but it can be a quicker way of losing your money.
You can wait.
So you've got to be careful. You've got to ensure that what you're doing is right and test it out first.
Well, yeah, and I think it's not unreasonable to do microstakes. If you use a simulated mode, then it doesn't really give you the performance, the kind of the original positions that you'd have in a market. 5p microstakes, you know, what's wrong with that? And just set it, forget it, and let it run and see how you get on each day. You know, it's only going to cost you a couple of quid if it's going the wrong way. So, again, it's made me tamper with start getting into horse racing and sort of tennis now and stuff. So I find it quite addictive. So maybe I need to rein it back in a bit.
I'll tell you another one. I'm just trying to find it at the moment. Another interesting strategy that's been going. Essentially, what happened when we what happened? I had the Trade on Sports newsletter. When I first started this service, it was a newsletter. Essentially I was recording the graphs, you know, I recorded every football match and what I did, we looked at effectively I was looking at strategies based on price movements, you know, if we see any repeats or returns. And then I got into sort of ratings and then it sort of morphed. And anyway, one day I was a member of I still am a member of Mugs Game, Steve Howe. He does the pre horse racing, and he's brilliant, Steve. He's great because what he does. Matt Haynes he was in the rooms and he was giving out all this tennis stuff. And then I said to Matt, I said, "Would you like to start a tennis service?" And he said, "Yeah, I would." He said, "I think we'd be good at it." Anyway, I met him with Steve, and Steve said, "Yeah." He said, "Why don't you just do this startup?" So we started Trade on Tennis, and then, you know, basically Matt gave out his sheets each day, which everybody follows. And he also has these red selections, what we call red selections. And this is part of the strategy of the Platinum service.
Is that just a straight lay of the game, or should that be?
That can be automated as well. It's just a pre-match, a straight lay of the red selection. And like I say, when you're looking at this, what happened, Stephen came on board and he did all these tennis stats and they're fantastic. You know, the stats that they come out with that you can use in play and whatever are brilliant. It's fantastic. And then obviously he devised the football, the game state application that he has now. Going back to the tennis, I mean, I said to Matt yesterday, I said, since we started on the 1st of May, 2016, I said you've had 2,176 selections where you've laid 1,072 points, giving a profit of 95.45, which equates to about a 9% return on investment. Had you had laid it for a £10 liability, you'd be £2,096 up over 2,176 bets, again, for a 9% return on investment. I prefer laying, you know, to win a point. So you're risking, say, like 1.59, you're risking 0.59. But that is incredible. You know, 9%, that is really solid over four seasons. And that, I think people should do that as well. And they seem, it's worth doing.
Yeah, I have that one.
Yes.
I have that running.
The only negative side of the tennis is that it can go, you can have weeks and weeks where, nothing happens, and then all of a sudden, on one day, you'll have four or five losers, and that four or five losers gives you, you know, gives you your profit. But it has to, it's like everything, you have to do it on a daily basis. But again, it's easy to set up on the Betfair Bot Manager because the alerts come through and you can get it set up straight away.
Yeah, I think, you know, on my Gold Gypsy videos, I haven't done one in a while, and I think there's probably going to be some new ones coming out, obviously, when we release these strats, and also maybe a little episode on how to do it on the bot, so how to understand the language selection and market conditions. So, Pete, for the time being, thank you very much for joining me today. Interesting chat and about all things sports. We move into the weekend. Any thoughts for the weekend ahead?
Not really, no. I haven't actually. Not really, no. I think it's going to be, what I can guarantee, it's going to be a very busy weekend as normal. I find all these leagues, it's exhausting come Monday, isn't it? The amount of selections.
Saturday, I think last week when it was just, I don't know why, it's always different, of course, with alerts. I just had to walk out and go and go for a walk and have a cigarette and just get some fresh air. I can't write all these down quick. I just said, right, come and clear. 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock was just maniacal. So, I mean, there's, and Sunday always feels nice and calm because I think just the order of the matches is more spread out and just calmer. I like Sunday.
I'm just having a look. Last weekend, for example, we had over the weekend, there was at least 13 unders bets came out. It's mad. Yeah, so they are spread out. They don't seem to come out at the same time. But the thing is, they start early in the morning, you know, in the Far East, and then end in America in the evening. So it's all go for 15, 16 hours.
Yeah. Our shattered Monday. Pete, once again, thanks for joining us. Have a good weekend. And we will have another podcast coming up for you on Scenes on Toast shortly. In the meantime, all you traders out there, have a good weekend too. And let us know if you've got any questions or you want to come on the show and talk about stuff, some of the stuff we've talked about today. Just drop me a DM on Twitter at Gold Gypsy, or just visit the YouTube channel, Toss Us Trade On Sports, where you have a collection of my explanatory videos on our strats. Thanks, guys, and you shall hear from us again soon.